This is Audible.
Harper Children's Audio presents Rivals, a baseball great novel by Tim Green. Performed by Tim Green. Copyright 2010 by Tim Green. Production copyright 2010 by HarperCollins Publishers.
Chapter 1. When the sun came blasting in through the hotel room curtains on Sunday morning, Josh pulled aside the shades and felt the thrill of being in a championship game wash over him like the sunlight. The feeling quickly sank into a sea of doubt. Being considered a great player by the Titans was one thing, but the better their team did, the better the competition became. There were other kids out there, not many, but they were there, whose skills rivaled Josh's. Josh's father, a mountain of a man who'd been a first-round draft pick out of high school but spent all of his 13 years as a pro in the minor leagues, told Josh that if he wanted to be truly great, he had to relish the thought of a rivalry.
"Great players always want to go up against the best," his father would say. "Even if they don't win. A real rivalry is when teams or players go back and forth between who wins and who loses, so when they play each other, both are at their very best."
It bothered Josh that he didn't relish the thought of a good rivalry. He just couldn't help wishing for the kind of games where they swamped the other team. That's how it had been in this qualifying tournament so far, but Josh knew that it wouldn't be true today. He'd be up against the tournament's best pitcher, and the sickening dread smothering the thrill made him feel that he was something less than what his father wanted him to be. These were the kind of feelings he could only talk about with one person, Jaden Niedermeyer. Somehow, her being a girl let him speak freely, and her perky reply hadn't made him sorry.
"Everything you do, Josh," she had said, "you do well. You work to be the best. If having a rival you look forward to is part of what it takes to be great, don't worry. It'll happen. Just be you, Josh. That's all you have to do."
Benji, his other best friend and roommate on the road, rolled over in his twisted pile of sheets and groaned.
"Turn it off," Benji said, blindly swatting the air.
"Come on," Josh said.
"The Toledo Nighthawks are the only thing between us and the Hall of Fame tournament in Cooperstown."
"Hall of Fame tournament?" Benji asked, scrunching up his face.
"It's supposed to be the biggest thing in youth baseball," Josh said. "It's the first major tournament of the summer. My dad said that this year they're going to have more people watching on TV than the Little League World Series. He said the teams are going to be the best of the best."
"You don't have to tell me how big it is. I'm a Cooperstown veteran," Benji said, pulling a pillow over his head that muffled his words. "You see my Babe Ruth paperweight, haven't you? The one where he's in a Red Sox uniform? That's how I like to think of him. The Red Sox being the greatest franchise in baseball history and all."
"But you never played there," Josh said, yanking Benji's covers off the bed. His oversized friend was wearing white boxer shorts spotted with red hearts.
Josh laughed, thankful for something to lighten his mood.
"No wonder you wanted to undress in the dark. Where'd you get those things?" "I can't help it if I'm a lady killer," Benji said, his face turning as red as the hearts.
He slipped sideways into the bathroom, covering as much of his shorts as he could.
"Lady killer?" Josh said. "Girls love a man with good taste in underwear," Benji said from behind the bathroom door.
"What are you talking about?" Josh said, still laughing.
"No one's going to see your underwear. Not any ladies, anyway, unless you're planning on flashing someone at the pool."
"It's not about what they see,"
Benji said, bursting forth from the bathroom with his baseball pants hiding the hearts.
"It's an attitude. Women can smell it on you."
Josh could only shake his head as he ran a comb through his hair.
"Look at you," Benji said. "I know you're working yourself over in that mirror pretty hard for Jaden."
Josh rolled his eyes.
"Cut it out. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings." Everyone knows she's crazy about you,
Benji said, pulling on the rest of his uniform and pitching his voice like a girl's.
Oh, Josh, you're so strong. Is it even a challenge for you to hit a home run with those 200-foot fences after playing all those games in U14?
Benji made kissing noises.
Would you rather I didn't smack them over the fence? Josh asked.
What Benji heard Jaden say was true. Until Josh and Jaden exposed his former coach, Rocky Valentine, for steroid dealing, Josh had been part of a U14 travel team. He'd gotten experience playing with kids 2 years older than he was on a field that was much bigger. The fence for U14 was at about 300 feet instead of the 200 feet for Little League, or U12. The bases, too, went down from 90 feet apart at U14 to 60 for U12. It was Josh's incredible vision, being able to see the ball the instant it left the pitcher's hand and read its spin, as well as his unusual size and strength for a 12-year-old that let him keep up with the older kids. With the strength training program he'd been on with his old team, even though Josh never did use his old coach's steroids, he'd been able to hit home runs over the 300-foot fence. So, more times than not, when Josh got all of the ball against a U12 pitcher, he put it out of the park. Josh's dad had kept the strength training regimen as part of his own U12 team's preparation, only without the steroids. Along with Josh's incredible scoring ability, it had a lot to do with the Titans being so successful.
Honestly, Benji said, his eyebrows disappearing up underneath his dark bangs, it gets a little disgusting.
You like winning, though, Josh said with a grin as he pulled on his uniform. Everyone likes winning, Benji said. Don't change the subject. Jaden is crazy for you, man, riding out here with the team, staying at our hotel. I know she's supposedly writing for the paper, but I think there's a lot more than Pulitzer Prizes on her mind. She probably has your name tattooed on her butt.
Stop it. She's a nice girl. She loves baseball, and you know it.
And I'm not the one with the hearts on my underwear, Josh said, zipping up his overnight bag and heading for the door.
I'll leave the girl stuff to you. I got baseball games to play. Come on, we'll be late for breakfast.
They took the elevator down, and to Josh's embarrassment, the first thing they saw when they walked into the restaurant was Jaden, a tall, pretty girl with honey-colored skin, green eyes flecked with yellow, and frizzy hair that she kept pulled back tight off her face. She sat at a round booth just inside the hostess stand, calling Josh's name and waving frantically for them to come and sit down. Josh looked around and hung his head before slipping into the booth. Jaden was as good a friend to him as Benji, and he wasn't going to stop being nice to her just because he hated Benji's teasing.
Sit down, Jaden said. Listen to this. I was checking out this Toledo team, and you guys can't believe what I heard.
They've got Sandy Plancheck, the best pitcher in the state of Ohio,
Benji said, yawning and picking up his menu.
He throws a 75-mile-an-hour fastball. Yeah, we know. Josh could barely get to sleep last night. How's the pancakes in this joint?
Jaden scowled at Benji and said,
He throws a 75-mile-an-hour fastball, yes, but it's what he's planning on doing with it.
Yeah, Benji said from behind the menu. He's gonna strike out Josh. Ooh, now we're all scared. Josh'll knock it into the river.
In the park where they would play, beyond the fence, was a road, and if the ball went another 100 feet or so past that, it would hit the Genesee River.
No. He's not going to try to strike out Josh, you goofball, Jaden said, pulling Benji's menu down. If the Nighthawks need it to win, he's going to throw a beanball at Josh.
You're kidding, Josh said, setting down his water glass without taking a drink.
No, Jaden said, I'm not. I was scouting them out in the semifinals yesterday, and I met his girlfriend.
Plancheck's got a girlfriend? Josh said.
Jaden nodded.
She didn't know who I was and started bragging about him. I said I'd seen the Syracuse Titans, and they had a really great player named Josh LeBlanc, who was almost 6 feet tall. That's when she told me they already knew about you and that if he needed to use it, her boyfriend had a surprise for you. She said it exactly, a beanball.
Beanball? What is that?
Benji asked, crinkling his face.
Like he farts in the middle of his windup?
Jaden rolled her eyes.
You are so lame. A beanball. This guy's a headhunter.
Josh turned to Benji.
She means he's going to try and hit me with that 75-mile-an-hour fastball. Right in the head.
Chapter 2
He can't do that,
Benji said, slapping his hand on the table so that the silverware jangled and the ice in their water glasses danced.
Not legally,
Jaden said.
But how do you prove it?
It's up to the umpire's discretion to call it. If the ump just says it's a wild pitch, there's not much you can do. The Nighthawks probably know that if Josh stays on pace and they want to win, they'll have to get him out of the game.
We've got to tell your dad,
Benji said to Josh. Josh shook his head.
And look like I'm scared of some kid's fastball? I know just what my dad's going to say to that.
Step up to the plate and act like a man.
That's my dad.
Not if he knew the guy was going to try to hurt you,
Jaden said.
Your dad's tough, but he's not ice cold.
Josh held up his hand, signaling them to stop.
I'm not saying anything to my dad. Now I know it's coming. I can just keep an eye out and duck if he throws for my head.
Benji whistled low and raised his menu again.
I don't know. 75 miles an hour.
The waitress arrived. They had breakfast and joined the rest of the team milling toward the bus. Coach Moose, a thick-necked middle school gym teacher who worked as his father's assistant, stopped Josh before he got on and said,
Josh, will you go tell your dad I got everyone here? I told him 9, but the bus driver says there's some parade we've got to go around, and it'll take us longer than we thought.
Sure, Josh said. He headed through the lobby and up the elevator to the room where his mom and dad were staying with his baby sister, Laurel. As he turned the corner, he stopped at the sound of his parents arguing inside the room. A suitcase held the door open. In the background, his little sister babbled to herself. Josh backed against the wall, out of sight, and listened.
Stop saying it's only a game, Josh's father said.
How is it more than that, Gary?
His mother said.
How? You keep talking about Nike, but you've got a contract with them and you're doing fine.
Josh knew his dad's feelings about the Nike contract were as delicate as they were special. Coach Valentine lost the U14 Titans sponsorship after the steroid scandal. Josh had heard jealous whispers about his father having had something to do with the steroids as well, a complete lie. And even that he orchestrated the old coach's demise so that he could grab the esteemed and valuable Nike deal.
Because fine doesn't mean anything, his father said. Everyone's cutting back, Nike too. And if they do, who knows what happens to the Titans. But if we win today, we qualify for the Hall of Fame National Championship Tournament. It's the biggest thing in Little League Baseball these days, and whoever wins that gets a guaranteed 5-year deal. That's security, Laura, something I never had as a player. Something I want. Look at the house we live in. Drafts coming through the walls all winter, plumbing going bad every other week, a doggone leak in the roof. I'd like to get us into something better before the place falls in on us. So stop saying it's only a game. It's not. This is our life we're talking about here.
I just don't want Josh to feel that kind of pressure,
his mom said, her voice softening.
And I'd never do that,
his father said, quieter now too.
And he won't. I'm not saying anything to him about it, and I know you won't, so we're fine. To him, it is only a game.
Josh listened for a minute, thinking about his father's words and how he wished he hadn't heard them at all. Knowing how much was at stake made the sinking feeling of dread even worse. His mother muttered something he couldn't hear, and his father answered in the same quiet tone before Josh heard him moving toward the door. Josh backed up and then started walking again as though he'd just arrived.
"Hey, Dad,"
he said, meeting him in the doorway and trying to read his mom's face from the corner of his eye.
"Coach Moose says the bus has to leave now. Something about a parade."
"Okay, grab that suitcase for your mom, will you, Josh?"
Josh did, and they loaded up his mom and sister before he and his dad stepped up onto the bus. Jaden sat across the aisle from him, and after they were underway, she leaned over and asked,
"What's the matter?"
"Nothing," Josh said. "We have to win this thing. That's all."
"I don't know if you should put that kind of pressure on yourself, Josh,"
Jaden said.
"Why not?"
"Well," Jaden said, tapping her pen against the cover of her notepad,
"I just think you play better when you're relaxed. Just go out there and play."
"I play the same no matter what," Josh said, angry because he knew it wasn't true.
"Okay," she said. "All I'm saying is that if you don't win this, it isn't going to ruin your life or anything."
Josh looked at her for a moment, then said, "That's where you're wrong." Chapter 3 Gray cotton candy clouds hung from the sky, but the forecast didn't call for any rain and the temperature was in the low 70s. The Titans took the field for warm-ups, and Josh studied the Nighthawks players in their dugout, wondering which one was Plancheck. He looked over at Jaden, who sat in the deep corner of their dugout with her notepad out, and gave her a questioning look. She just shrugged and shook her head. When an easy grounder came his way, Josh fumbled it and had to reach between his legs to get a hold before throwing wild to first. The first baseman missed it, and the ball hit the fence beyond the foul line.
"LeBlanc!" his father barked from the fence by the batter's circle. "Come on now! Get your head into it!"
Josh winced and focused on the balls Coach Moose peppered at them from behind the plate. The stands began to fill with parents, supporters, and just baseball fans who wanted to see what two of the top U-12 Little League travel teams in the country looked like. After the Star-Spangled Banner, the Nighthawks took the field. Even after a short, stocky boy built like a fireplug headed for the mound, chomping on a fat wad of bubblegum, Josh searched the Nighthawks' dugout for the pitcher named Sandy Plancheck. When the boys stepped up and began throwing warm-up pitches, Josh looked at Coach Moose, thinking about the prospect of a beanball, and asked, "Is that Plancheck?" Moose glanced at him and said,
"Yeah, you heard about his fastball?"
Josh swallowed at the sound of the ball smacking the catcher's mitt like a gunshot. The ball was a blur.
"I heard some things,"
Josh said, picking out the batting helmet he liked best and stepping aside for the three batters in front of him. Josh couldn't take his eyes off Planchak's face, unable to decipher the pitcher's blank expression beneath the thatch of dirty blonde hair poking out from under his red cap as his jaw worked steadily at the gum. Since he batted cleanup, Josh never got the chance to swing. Planchak put the top of the lineup down with just 14 pitches, using a short, spring-loaded windup that somehow resulted in a fastball rarely seen at the U-12 level. The Titans took their turn in the field. Their own top pitcher, Kerry Eshelman, gave up two hits, but got out of the inning without a run after Josh scooped up a burner and the Titans made a double play. His first time, Josh felt sweat greasing the bat handle beneath his grip. The first pitch came right down the middle and Josh didn't even get to swing.
"Strike!"
The second pitch came. Josh read it the instant it left Plancheck's hand. A ball, high, fast, and way inside. Josh fell back from the plate to avoid being hit, but stumbled and went down on his butt. His helmet skittered across the dirt, and his face went on fire with embarrassment when someone in the stands laughed out loud. From the dugout, Josh's father shook his head. Josh got to his feet and stepped into the box. The third pitch came, nothing but heat down the middle, which confused Josh since he expected another potential beanball.
"Strike two! Come on, Josh! You can hit this guy!"
Josh's father yelled.
"Swing! Don't just watch it!"
Josh stepped out of the box and wedged his helmet down tight. If Plancheck was going to try to bean him, there was nothing Josh could do He'd have to hope his vision could get him out of the way quickly enough. He gritted his teeth and stepped in, ignoring Plancheck's blank stare and focusing instead on his hand and seeing the ball as it left the pitcher's fingertips. Curve. Too far outside to be a strike. He let it go.
Ball!
Josh stepped away from the 2-2 count, swung a couple times, then got back into the box, focusing on Plancheck's release. Another fastball. Josh saw the line, a little high and a little outside, but still a strike. He felt the grin infecting his face and swung big. Chapter 4. The bat cracked and the ball took off, clearing the fence by a mile, bouncing off the road beyond the field and rolling down the grassy bank on its way to the Genesee River below. The Titans fans and bench erupted. Josh jogged around the bases, relieved but unable to get Jaden's warning and the inside pitch out of his mind, and unable to keep from meeting Plancheck's eyes as he crossed the plate under the gaze of the pitcher's gum-chomping blank stare. Esch began to wear down, but, led by Josh, the Titans played great defense and kept the score close enough so that by the beginning of the sixth it was tied at 4, with Josh having hit 3 home runs. While the Titans had to switch to another pitcher, Plancheck never seemed to fade. If Jaden was right, and Plancheck really did plan to do what his girlfriend claimed, then now would be the time for a beanball. But, beanball or no beanball, Josh prayed he'd get another chance at bat. Anything to get them to the big Hall of Fame tournament. But for him to even get the chance, they had to finish out their order with Benji, and then the first 3 batters before Josh. Somehow, 2 of the 4 would have to get on base. Benji made the sign of the cross and stepped up to the plate. The first pitch came right at him, nailing him in the leg and dropping Benji like a sack of potatoes. Moose ran out and helped Benji to his feet. He limped down the line to first base, waving dramatically to the clapping crowd, his face a mask of agony. The next 2 batters struck out quick, but each one got an errant pitch that left Josh feeling certain that Plancheck was setting the stage for a beanball, getting the ump used to an occasional wild pitch to make it look unintentional. When Esch stepped up to the plate, everyone, including Esch, was surprised when he actually hit the ball, driving it through the opening between first and second. Josh clapped and tightened his batting glove down before starting for the plate with 2 runners on base and 2 outs.
"Hang on," Josh's father said, gripping his shoulder and nodding toward the Nighthawks' dugout.
The Nighthawks' coach had gone out to the mound. The coach talked with Plancheck before glancing over at Josh, whispering one more thing and then returning to his bench.
"They're going to walk you intentionally," Josh's father said, making a face. "The coach is calling for a ball. Nothing we can do about it."
"That's garbage," Josh said. If Plancheck gave him the opportunity, Josh could put the game out of reach, driving in 2 runs as well as scoring himself and giving the Titans a lead the Nighthawks couldn't likely recover from.
"You with 3 home runs already?" his father said, raising his eyebrows. "I can't say I wouldn't do it if I were them."
"Can I chase it?" Josh asked, imagining himself jumping forward and reaching for a really wide outside pitch. His dad clamped his lips shut, then said,
"You know what? Do that. Make him throw that sucker so far outside the catcher can't get it. I'll give the sign for Benji and Esch to steal."
Josh grinned and stepped up to the plate. He'd never seen anyone jump out at an intentional ball, but he'd heard of it happening, and if it could be done by anyone, he knew it was him. He stepped up and shared his grin with Plancheck, ready to go but concentrating hard on the pitcher's hand. In the instant before the release of the ball, Josh sensed something wrong. As it left Plancheck's hand, Jaden's words blasted fresh through his mind, mixing with disbelief. He'd been thinking fastball, high, but the laces told him curve. Josh hesitated for a fraction of a second, and it was too long.
The pitch struck him in the face. Josh saw stars and felt his body spin for just a split second before everything went fuzzy. Chapter 5. Josh smelled grass and hot dogs, and he thought about eating one. Someone shook him.
"Josh! Josh! Everyone get back!"
Josh blinked and saw his dad blocking out the sky.
"Are you okay, son? Do you hear me?"
Josh nodded slowly, the pain in his face and head making him wince. He didn't want to talk. He heard Jaden's voice, laced with panic, telling people to get out of her way, and then her face appeared beside his father's. Something tickled Josh's upper lip, and he wiped it and came away with a bright smear of blood.
"Oh my," Jaden said.
Josh saw the questioning look on his father's face. It was a look Josh wanted to obliterate. It wasn't a look of disgust or shame, but of wonder, maybe even doubt about just what kind of a man Josh would become. Josh had heard the story several times from his father's teammates about him taking a Novocaine shot directly into his shoulder joint so he could pitch in a AA championship game. Josh struggled upright and tried to stand.
"Whoa,"
Coach Moose said, gripping his arm. Josh pushed him away and said, "I'm fine."
"You're bleeding," Jaden said.
"Just a bloody nose," Josh said, even though it felt like a knife was sticking into the back of his eyeball. He reached for his bat. "I'm fine."
"Okay," the ump said. "Take your base."
Jaden pointed at Plancheck and shouted,
"He did it on purpose. That was a beanball. His girlfriend told me about it yesterday. She's right over there."
"Take his base and that guy's out of the game," Josh's father said, pointing at Plancheck.
The umpire was a short, chubby man with a round red face. He frowned from behind his mask, shrugged, and said,
"A wild pitch, coach. That's the second man he's hit in four batters, and it was intentional," Josh's dad said. "She said it."
"She? Who's she?"
the ump said, casting Jaden a nasty look.
"Pitchers don't get sat down unless they hit three batters, coach."
"That's if he's not trying to hit them," his dad said. "That's your call. Use your judgment."
"I am using my judgment, coach," the ump said. "And if you don't get out of my face, I'm tossing you out of the park."
"That's terrible," Jaden said.
"That's it,"
the ump said, stabbing the air with his thumb.
"You're out of here, young lady."
"She's a reporter," Josh's dad said.
"I don't care who she is," the ump said. "Out of the park. If you don't leave, I'm stopping the game."
Jaden's face went pale, and she turned to go.
"What about you, coach?"
the ump asked, adjusting the metal cage of his mask. Josh's dad's face turned purple, and he clenched his meaty fists. The ump swallowed and stepped back, but Josh's dad just turned and stamped away.
"Let's go," the ump said with a growl. "Clear the field. Take your base. Play ball. Son, I said take your base."
Josh stood holding his bat. Blood drizzled down the back of his throat, but he swallowed it so no one would know. "I don't have to, do I?"
"It's a free base," the ump said.
"I can still hit, though, can't I?" Josh's father spun around and came back.
"Coach, you want him to advance, right?"
the ump said.
"Josh,"
his father said, taking Josh's shoulders gently in his big hands.
"Your eye is almost swollen shut. You've got a whopper. You should take the base."
Josh felt tears welling up in his good eye. His father was giving him an easy way out. The smaller part of him wanted to take the base. They'd lose, and the toughest tournament in the country would pass them by. No Cooperstown. Josh and the Titans could spend the rest of the summer romping over lesser opponents. No pressure. No lead in his gut weighing him down. Only sunshine and Grand Slam home runs. It felt like someone had driven a tent stake through his cheek, but he shook his head. "If I don't hit this, we're not going to win, Dad. I need to knock it out of here. I don't
and we don't get to Cooperstown. The best of the best. I heard you say it.
Josh's dad glanced up into the stands in the direction of his mom. Then he bit into his lower lip, turned to the ump, and said,
"Okay, let him hit." "Coach, he's entitled to advance to first," Josh's father said. "He doesn't have to. I know the rules. Section 608B. Why don't you read it?"
Obviously flustered, the umpire pulled the rule book out of his back pocket and began to flip through the pages.
"What's going on?"
the Nighthawks coach asked, emerging from his dugout. Josh's dad wheeled on him with clenched fists and a furious look on his face.
"Josh isn't taking the base. He's entitled to it, but not compelled. Even though your pitcher tried to knock him out of the game with your dirty tricks."
"Hey, easy, coach. It was a wild pitch," the other coach said.
"Don't easy me,"
Josh's dad growled, looming over the much smaller man.
"I won't even say what ought to happen to you, but know this. Your pitcher has already hit two batters, and if he hits another, he's finished. So you just tell him to throw it in there and see if he can strike my kid out."
"He's right,"
the ump said, showing the other coach the rule book.
"Maybe play some baseball, coach," Josh's father said as he stalked away, "and let's see who wins."
The ump shrugged. Josh wiped his good eye and stepped up to the other side of the plate, switching to lefty since he could only see now out of his right eye. Everyone cleared the infield, and Plancheck stared at Josh with the same empty look and the same mindless chomping on his gum. This time, he nodded, though, then went into his windup and fired a burner right down the middle. Josh saw it coming, saw the seams, saw their spin, saw the path it would take, and knew just how to swing. When the bat cracked, Josh gasped in pain. Chapter 6. Josh's brain lit up with a Christmas display of pain, and even though the ball went out of the park, he staggered and needed to catch his breath as he ran down the first base line. Jogging around the field, even the screams of the Titans fans and his teammates made him wince. When the Titans tried to swarm him in the dugout, he pushed them away. "I can't," he said, shrinking from their backslaps. "Don't. I'm hurt."
"Josh," his father said.
"It's okay, Dad," he said,
catching himself on the bench and taking a seat, knowing the game wasn't over yet.
"I just need some space."
The next batter went down on three pitches, and it was the Titans' turn to take the field. They had a 7-4 lead, but now they had to protect it.
"Don't get excited yet,"
Josh's dad said in a growl to the team after calling them into a huddle.
"We need to play defense. They've scored the last two innings, and they're at the top of their lineup, so this thing is far from over. Let's go. Believe on three. 1, 2, 3. Believe!"
Josh's dad took him by the arm and said,
"You proved how tough you are, Josh. Let me put Lito at short and put a sub in for him in right field. That eye looks worse by the minute."
"I'm good, Dad," Josh said, trying to smile but unable to because of the pain. "We need this, and no offense to Benji. He's got a great glove, but he can't make the throw to first as good as me. I can play with this."
His dad bit into his lower lip, but he nodded and patted Josh on the back. As he headed out, he said,
"That's why you got two of them, right?"
"Two of what?" Josh asked.
"Two eyes," his dad said. "Case one closes up, you got the other."
Josh smiled. The Titans' relief pitcher struggled mightily, walking two batters and giving up a double and two singles. It wasn't long before the Nighthawks had two more runs and the bases were loaded. Josh looked at the 7-6 score and felt sick, in part because of how much his face hurt, but mostly because it looked like the whole effort was for nothing. Plancheck stepped up to the plate. One of the runs from earlier in the game was a homer by Plancheck, and Josh knew he'd be licking his chops for a chance to smash another one with the Titans pitcher struggling like he was.
Plancheck slapped the chalk on his glove and rubbed it with his other hand as he approached the box with a bat under his arm. Before he stepped to the plate, Plancheck looked right at Josh, offered up a tiny smirk, and pointed his bat at the fence like he was Babe Ruth. Josh crouched down and smacked his hand into his glove, angling his head so his good eye could take in more of the action. On the first pitch, Plancheck swung so hard he spun himself around.
"Strike one!" the ump called.
Plancheck seemed unfazed. He let the second pitch go by.
"Ball!"
The third pitch was a ball as well, a 2-1 count. Plancheck wiggled his hips and cleats as though he was planting himself permanently into the dirt of the batter's box. The next pitch came. Plancheck swung big and smacked it. Josh watched the ball leave the bat, and he started to run. Plancheck had connected, but a bit more under the ball than what would carry it out of the park. It floated for a moment, then started to plummet for the no-man's land between the third baseman and the left fielder. Josh poured on his speed, calling off both his teammates. He leaped for the ball, diving and reaching and praying he could make a miraculous catch. Chapter 7 Josh hit the ground and saw red and orange lightning bolts of pain. He felt himself drifting for a moment, swimming in the pain and feeling as if he'd go under, but he didn't. Adrenaline flooded his body. He rolled and came up out of it, raising his glove as much to see if he'd caught the ball as to make a play. And there it was, nestled in the brown leather like an egg in its nest. Reaction took over. Josh didn't even think about the throw he needed to make. He just threw it. The runner on third was halfway home. He spun to recover his base, but Josh fired the ball to the third baseman, who caught it and fired it in turn to the second baseman before his runner could get back either. The crowd went silent as they absorbed what had happened and took the time to process what they'd just seen. A triple play. Game over. Syracuse Titans 7, Toledo Nighthawks 6. The Titan players ran screaming at Josh and picked him up despite his pleas. Once he was up on their shoulders, he forgot about the pain and instead rode his teammates like a genie on some magic carpet, floating across the field and soaking up the joy of victory and the treasure that was waiting for him. The celebration didn't last. Josh's mom went wild when she saw him up close, and she insisted they go directly to the hospital, which was only 5 minutes up the street. Nurses and doctors, not unused to treating knife and gunshot wounds in the city's emergency room, cringed at the sight of Josh. He wanted to look in a mirror, but they stuck an IV into his arm and told him it would be best if he didn't.
"Let me give you something for the pain, honey,"
a young nurse said, putting her hand on his arm as she injected something into his IV. Within a few minutes, Josh began to float, and it didn't even bother him that they had taken off his clothes and put him into a gown. Before he knew it, they laid him down on a table and rolled him into a plastic capsule that made him think of a space coffin. The machine whirred and banged, but Josh felt no pain with the shot he'd been given. Finally, the machine spit him out. They wheeled him down the hall, not back to the emergency room, but into a regular hospital room where his parents stood holding hands beside the bed, talking quietly with a doctor.
"Hi,"
Josh said, reading the worried expressions on their faces as the doctor slipped out of the room. Two nurses helped him into the bed. His mom grasped his hand and squeezed tight enough that Josh could feel it.
"Everything's going to be okay," she said.
"Then how come you're crying?"
Josh asked.
She nodded and said, "They just want to keep an eye on you overnight to make sure the bleeding stops, honey."
"What bleeding?"
Josh asked cheerfully, his words sounding slurred and the pain a distant memory.
"Where's Benji and Jaden?"
"They're outside in the waiting room,"
his mom said.
"They'll be in once you get settled."
"You fractured your orbital,"
his dad said.
The part of the skull around the eye socket. You should be fine. I just don't want to take any chances because of the eye.
It's just an eye, Josh said, giggling. That's why you got two of them, right?
The look on his mother's face made him laugh even more. Then something came to him through the fog.
Hey, I'm going to be okay to play in the Hall of Fame tournament, right, Dad?
He said. His parents looked at each other, and his dad said,
The doctor went to look at the MRI, Josh. It'll be a few minutes.
Few minutes for what?
Josh asked, the hot syrup of panic filling his chest and starting to spread despite the shot.
Easy, buddy, his dad said as Josh struggled to sit up.
Nurse, his mom called at the door. Can you come in here, please? He's a little excited. Dad?
His father took his hand and placed the other on Josh's chest, nearly spanning it and gently laying him back down.
I can play, right? Josh asked.
We don't know, Josh, his father said. Maybe not.
Chapter 8. Even though the drugs kept the pain partially at bay, the dull throb behind Josh's eye didn't go away. His left eye was swollen completely shut. He was getting used to seeing out of just the right eye. He and his mom and dad sat in a doctor's office at the Golisano Children's Hospital in Syracuse. Dr. Cohen was a wiry man with tan skin, dark black hair, and glasses that hung halfway down his nose. He removed the x-rays from a big manila envelope and clipped the first two up on a light box that hung on the wall. Using a pointer to trace the dark eye socket hole in Josh's skull before detouring along a thin gray line, he said,
So, as you can see, this is the fracture, dangerously close to the optic nerve. One way to heal this is to just let nature run its course. Stay away from any kind of sports or contact for another 5 or 6 weeks, and this should mend enough to stabilize the area. Or we can go in and fix it.
I sure can't wait 5 more weeks, Josh said. The Hall of Fame National Championship Tournament is in 3 weeks. You gotta fix it.
Dr. Cohen looked down at him and blinked.
I understand. I used to play third base myself.
You think you can fix this? Josh's dad asked.
And keep him safe, his mother said, folding her arms across her chest. That is a must. We are not going to do something that could jeopardize Josh's eyesight in any way.
Dr. Cohen nodded.
The procedure I'm thinking about won't jeopardize his sight. I would never do that. If anything, this will be safer for him. He could fall down the stairs or slip in the shower, and if he hits that bone again, he'd damage the optic nerve. That we don't want. That could cost him the eye. What I'm talking about would stabilize the area, basically putting a small metal patch over the crack and screwing it down into the bone on either side. It would be very secure. But,
Dr. Cohen said, wincing,
there's more to consider.
I knew it,
Josh's mother said, slapping her hand on the arm of her chair.
Nothing medical,
Dr. Cohen said, holding up a hand.
It would be cosmetic.
Cosmetic?
Josh said.
I don't even know what that means.
Appearance,
Dr. Cohen said.
You'd have a scar on your face. With what I'd have to do, there's no way around it.
A scar?
His mom said, horrified.
You're kidding.
It's the only option, the doctor said. Very safe, medically sound. I could run the incision along the natural line under the eye so it wouldn't be too bad. Eventually, it will probably fade away so much you'd hardly notice, but there's no way around it.
I don't care about a scar, Josh said. I want to play. I have to play. Dad, we can win this thing.
Josh wanted to tell his father that he knew about Nike and the contract and that he'd do anything to help, but he knew he shouldn't. So he thought up something else.
There'll be college scouts there, Josh said. Mom, you want me to go to college? That's all you talk about. This is my dream.
No, we can't do this, she said, standing up. You can't have a scar.
Mom, who cares?
Josh said, clasping his hands together as if in prayer.
You might not care now, she said, but that's what God made parents for. Come on, Gary. Dr. Cohen, thank you, but no thank you.
I can't sit around for 5 weeks and miss this tournament, Josh said.
Him sitting around is going to drive us all crazy, Josh's dad said.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime chance, Josh said. It's a national championship. It's in Cooperstown. Dad, tell her.
Josh's father didn't get up. He sat with his legs splayed out to the sides, staring at the X-ray. Finally, he cleared his throat, looked up at Josh's mom, and said,
You heard him, Laura. This is the safest thing we could do.
The safest thing is to have him sit out for 5 weeks and let this thing heal without a scar, his mom said, raising her voice loud enough that Josh could feel it in his eye.
Dr. Cohen looked back and forth between Josh's parents.
This is something you should all discuss by yourselves.
There's no discussion, Josh's dad said. We're doing it. It's the safest thing.
And he can play baseball,
his mom said, spitting it out like some four-letter word.
It's his dream, Josh's father said.
His dream?
His mom said.
Or yours?
His mom turned and stormed out of the doctor's office.
You sure you want this, son? Josh's dad asked.
Please, Dad, Josh said. Please let me play.
His father looked deep into Josh's eyes, and Josh thought for an instant that his dad might spill a tear. Then his dad nodded.
Okay, we'll do it.
Thank you, Dad,
Josh said, grabbing his father's thick arm.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Cohen cleared his throat and said,
I can do the surgery this week, but I'd really like you to get your wife on board with this.
She gets excited, his dad said in a low rumble. Don't worry, Doc. I'll handle Laura. Let's get it done.
Chapter 9. With school in its final few days, the noise in the Grant Middle School cafeteria rivaled that of any place on earth. Chatter sprinkled with hoots, catcalls, shrieks, and howls of laughter always left Josh's ears buzzing when he finished eating his lunch and headed for his next class.
Man, you're like Ronnie Lott,
Benji said above the noise, tearing his ham sandwich free from the cellophane and stuffing half of it into his mouth.
Who's Ronnie Lott?
Jaden asked, cracking open her carton of milk and taking a sip before she opened her notebook to a page packed with columns and tiny symbols.
Oh, man,
Benji said, speaking around the huge wad of bread and ham filling his mouth.
Just when I think you're not such a girl. Ronnie Lott's a famous football player from the 80s.
I am a girl, Leto, Jaden said, slapping her notebook and straightening her back.
I like being a girl. Girls rule. Right, Josh?
Josh felt the pulse in the dull pain behind his eye quicken. He looked down at his meatloaf sandwich and mumbled,
Geez, I can't win this one. You two fight it out. Anyway,
Jaden said, nibbling on an apple,
who is he, and why is Josh like some old football player?
Well, you know, my dad being a pro ball player himself, Benji said through his food,
I get all the good stories. So Ronnie Lott played for the 49ers back when they were a dynasty. They were on their way to the Super Bowl, but Lott crushed his finger, and they said there was no way he could play with it the way it was. Too risky for infection or something like that.
Even though Benji didn't live with his dad, he never missed an opportunity to talk about him, a big, burly plastics factory worker who played offensive lineman for the semi-pro Syracuse Express on autumn afternoons.
So? Jaden said. So he crushed his finger.
Benji swallowed his wad of food and leaned forward.
So he cut it off.
What? Jaden said in disgust.
Whop!
Benji said with a chopping motion.
Cut the finger right off, just so he could play in the playoffs and help his team win. Same thing with Josh. Whop!
Benji made a dramatic slicing motion under his eye.
Did he really?
Josh asked, his chest flooding with pride at the comparison.
I think I've heard of Ronnie Lott. Josh Lott. That's what I'll start calling you,
Benji said, jamming the other half of the sandwich into his mouth and nodding furiously. Josh gently patted the swollen skin beneath his eye, which had surprised him that morning by allowing in a slit of light.
I guess.
Wow, Jaden said, obviously impressed.
I hate to say it, but you're right, Leto. Maybe I should do a story on this for the Post-Standard. Get some pictures of that eye or the scar right after they cut you. People love to read that kind of stuff.
Gosh, Josh said.
I was going to put something together about this, Jaden said, patting her notebook.
What's that?
Benji asked through his food.
Basically, it shows why, out of the teams that have qualified so far, the Syracuse Titans have a great chance to win that Hall of Fame tournament,
Jaden said, obviously proud.
See? It's all the statistics of all the different teams. I rate the pitchers, the defense, batting, everything every team that qualified has done over the past 6 months. Then, look, I add a value to all these things and calculate it out. The Titans are definitely the team to beat. That's what I was thinking the headline of my story could be, the team to beat. It's a good follow-up to the triple play, don't you think?
Where did you get all that stuff? Josh asked, leaning over as he finished off his sandwich.
I'm a reporter, Josh, she said. I've got my sources. Well, mostly just the internet. But do you realize, with you guys being the team to beat and you having this surgery just so you can play, the Titans could make some national news?
Josh raised his eyebrows.
I mean it, Jaden said.
Benji almost choked on his food and took a big swig of milk to wash it down before he gasped and said,
Man, Josh, I can see it. You and me on the front page of SI for Kids? Maybe even a piece on SportsCenter. I mean, we win the national championship and that, like, makes us famous, right?
You and Josh?
Jaden said, squinting at Benji.
Me being the other heavy hitter on the team, Benji said. The dynamic duo, something like that.
But Leto,
Jaden said with one.